Right, let's just go back to Northern Ireland a little bit. Finish this
bit.
No, it's good. It's interesting. Because I can edit this, and we'll, you know, as long as we're sort of doing it in kind of blocks. So in Ireland, you've got you lot running free, no teacher, and all the rest of it. You're running wild, having a great old time. There is a picture that I saw, and it may well be in there, of Gibraltarian children in Ireland holding banners saying, send us back to Gibraltar, we want to go back.
Oh, yes. There was always like demonstrations like that. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And was that... interrupt?
Yes, go on.
Well, what I've heard is that the people that went to Northern Ireland were the people that had no family in Gibraltar to reclaim them, because that happened to one of my auntie.
Right, yes.
Because, like him, you know, one of my cousins were born in England and the other one was born in Ireland. And my dad had to reclaim them for them to come to Gibraltar, and they stayed with us. That was the reason why because they were in Ireland, and so they had no one, so they weren't allowed to go back. Because which was wrong, I think, because if you were Gibraltarian and you wanted to go back, you should have been allowed, not have someone claiming you, you know, for you to go back to your own place.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wonder what the British thought would happen to them. They couldn't stay in camps forever.
No, so that's why they were all claiming, wanted to go, because what I've heard, I think some people stayed in Ireland, some Gibraltarian, and like I said before, if you had no family there, which they can ask for you to go, you weren't allowed to go, which I think is wrong.
Absolutely, but maybe, I suppose, one of the reasons might have been that there wasn't anywhere for people to live. They were thinking, Gibraltar, where are we going to put them?
Yeah, because there was a shortage I suppose Pilar told you that when they went to an Eastern house.
Mm.
And some of my uncles as well, when they got married, they were living in one of those tin houses in Gibraltar.
Yeah, that's what happened. I just heard about that. I didn't know about that.
In my case, my father rent to a Spanish man our house, room and a kitchen, right? Rented. Now, so my auntie had to go after him and saying, you must leave this place because my brother is coming over. And until he left, then she could prove to the authority in Gibraltar that there was a place for us to go to.
Yeah, that's another thing. If you didn't have a place to stay, you know, like with family or anything like that, that you weren't, you know, they wouldn't take you back, send you back to Gibraltar.
And presumably as well, that, you know, so something like that happens and they say, yeah, okay, you know, but you wouldn't go straight away because they're hardly going to send you back. Would they wait for a boatload of people to be ready to go?
Yes,
wouldn't just send you back on a ferry or,
I
guess it was all this stuff, you think about it, after the war, there were displaced people everywhere, all over Europe, weren't there? And trying to organise that and work out where everybody should go must have been a massive thing.
It must have been, yes.
But then some people were probably treated not very well because, you know, for example, if you think about, say, the Channel Islands, which were actually invaded by the Germans, you know, they were sort of forgotten about.
Worse off, of course.
And maybe the Gibraltarians, who, you know, I think some of them stayed in Ireland until 1950-something?
Yeah,
51, 52? Is that right? Something like that. I think it's very long, isn't it? To live in a Nissenhut on a farm.
We were, like Pilar, we were one of the first ones because Pilar's father stayed in Gibraltar, my dad stayed in Gibraltar, so they could claim us because we had a place to go, you know, and because our bad with him was different because his dad was here.
That's right, that's where he made the mistake, in leaving the place.
Yeah, sure.
Which he should have stayed there.
Yeah, really, and also he just went out of the Gibraltar people.
Yes.
And they were on their own.
Oh, yes.
So that was more difficult for them to
get back.
To get back.
So what year did you get back?
To be honest with you, I don't remember myself.
Mm.
But
Do you remember what Gibraltar was like? Do you remember coming home?
Oh, yes, I do remember coming home. I mean, the army was there waiting for us. They were with these Land Rovers and the suitcase from the boat. They used to go in the boat, the soldiers, pick up all our luggage, put it on the Land Rover and take us to our house, really.
And did you go back to school when you got then? How old do you think you were by this time? About 8 or something?
About 8, yes, about 8. I was a bit behind, really. About 8, that's right.
And you must have been speaking English very well then.
That's what I think in myself. Excuse me? I think I used to speak better English than nowadays.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So we got to the point where, yeah, we're talking about coming home, and you remembered coming home.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so then you got back into your house because the Spanish people had gone.
Yes, yes, that's right. Yeah, the man left the thanks to my auntie, really, that she got rid of him, really, and then we could go back.
Do you think, and this is a question for both of you, actually, and I'll ask you first then. Amalia, sorry. I can't.
Sorry,
I think I used to know
Amalia
somebody called Amalia,
similar.
But Amalia—that's why I keep saying Amalia. Amalia, how do you think your mother or your family, while you were away, kept the sense of Gibraltar alive? Because you know, you in your for the children, it must have been quite important, you know, to so that because you were so little.
Yeah.
By the time going back to Gibraltar, you might have not even known anything about it.
Well, I don't remember much about Gibraltar before that, you know, before we arrived there. You know, because, as I say, I was only a year old when I came to England. I can remember bits and pieces, but, of course, being all Gibraltarian where we were at the hotel, so I presume they were all speaking Spanish, you know, and well, Gibraltarian, which is a mixture of English and Spanish. And you know, my grandmother didn't speak a lot of English either. So, you know, I suppose we were still in Gibraltar community, you know, and everybody talked the same way and did the same thing and do their same activities and things like that, I suppose.
That's interesting, thank you. And for you, Oligario. Oligario. I'll get there eventually. Somebody told me when the boys especially were in, I think it was in Ireland, then they used to fight sometimes with the local boys, and the Gibraltarian boys, were called the rock scorpions.
It could be the older ones, but yeah. Not us really, at my age. Maybe the grown-ups are over 20.
Maybe the teenagers, the 14, yeah. Teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were called that. I thought that was quite interesting, the rock scorpions. So do you think that you had a sense of who you were, a Gibraltarian then, or didn't it matter really?
I don't think it mattered much really to me. Everything looked the same to me really.
And so, just going back, now we're back in Gibraltar then, after the war, and we talked a little bit about what it was like for you. What was it like for you, sort of, so you grew up in Gibraltar in the 1950s, really?
Mm-hmm.
And what was it like then, Gibraltar? Was it very different to now?
You mean nowadays?
Yeah, compared to now.
I suppose so, but I think nowadays, in a way, people live more independent than before. Before, we were all in these patios, one toilet for about 15 houses and all that, no? Plus, what happened, the women used to fight more each other, really, because of the children. And there was always arguing. And I was really, that really got me upset about all the time arguing, these ladies, the other one talking about this one, about the other one. And then we moved to these new flats and we were better off there really, because each one had his own door and not in the patio. Whether you want it or not, you had to mix with all of them there really. So I think nowadays it's much better for that, really, for that reason. That's why one of the things I wanted her over here is because she had a garden for herself to hang her clothes and everything. And over there, I mean, they used to say, come to us, today's my washing day, but you still have your hanging clothes there. Oh, yes, because of the rain, they are not dry, so I'm leaving them there, but it's my day of washing. And there was always arguing over there, really.
Yeah, I could see that, a lot of that, because you had to share so much.
You had to share so
much. People weren't cooperating. Literally cooperating, yeah. So what made you, how old were you when you decided to leave Gibraltar and come to England?
Well, I think I was about 25, I believe. What happened is this. Before, we were working for the army, and we had three regiments over there. Married quarters, so there was plenty of work for us. But then the order came that we were going to cut the army and start pulling back over to the mainland, the troops. So what they did, instead of having five departments, they just wanted going to build one department, so a lot of people would lose their jobs.
What were you doing? What was your work?
Carpentry I was doing.
So you taught, but did your father teach you?
Well, I was working with him, really, in his department, really. In a way, it was good, but in a way, bad, because by having your father there as a foreman, everything was all right. No one would say, no, that's wrong, do it this way.
Yes.
And of course, then the order came that they were going to cut down the department, so we decided, well, we panicked, so we said, let's go to England.
So when you say we, was it you and your father?
That's right, and my mother.
And mother, so you all decided?
That's it. We came to Pilar's house, or her parents' house.
See, I think this is really interesting to me, because this is such a cultural difference.
Yes.
That you would all come, you know, in our family. You know, we were very separate from our parents. It was sad, but it was true. We were sent to boarding school, we were separate. And so if I'd said, I'm going to Spain, would have been no question of my parents coming too. Obviously, no question.
Yes.
So you stuck together.
Yes.
Yeah. So you decided to come here really because of work.
Yes, that's right. We panicked. We are going to lose our jobs.
But that's quite a lot, quite a big thing to do, isn't it? To leave your culture and everything.
Yes. Quite a big thing to do, really. If, I mean, I start thinking now and I say to myself, I don't know why I decided to do this thing instead of waiting and see what happens, really.
So do you think you would have preferred sometimes to stay in Gibraltar than to have come here?
In a way, sometimes yes, but I look at the other way, that it's more peaceful here for me, you know, than in those patios there. So I feel happy.
You've got privacy.
Yes, that's right.
And some sort of, I mean, I know it's important, there's two sides to every coin, isn't there? That on one hand you've got your, the families are very close and so-and-so's cousins and everybody seems to know. And that's nice in a way, but sometimes it's too much. Mm. You know, something about, you know, certainly London as well. You've always got your anonymity, you know what I mean? You can have your friends, but you can walk down the street and not everybody knows you.
Yeah.
And that's good and bad too, isn't it?
One of our cousins that have been coming here, you know, said to me once, you know, he said, over there, you get tired of seeing the family all the time, every day. And over here it's so peaceful, you don't see nobody.
So what about your response to that? Because you were shaking your head and saying you're
completely
opposite. I'm completely
different. You know, I like to see and have all my cousins and all my family and my cousins' children, you know, around me. And, you know, when I'm happier is when on Christmas Day or when now Boxing Day, Christmas Day before. That I used to have, because I used to have three cousins here, you know, but they're all gone back home now. And they used to come, there were about 18 of us in that room over there. I don't know how we managed it, but we were, you know, with my parents and all that. My parents used to come every Christmas and spend Christmas with us and my brother. And when I used to go in the room and saw them all around me, oh, I was the happiest. That was the happiest day. But he's different. He doesn't like people, to see a lot of people, and he likes to be on his own and put around in the garden on his own and things like that.
Plus, what was I going to say? Plus the amount of work, clearing dishes and everything, isn't it?
Well, yes, it was hard work.
Especially nowadays, no, I find it very tiring.
Well, yeah, because we've gone older. I mean, at that time, I was 30, my 30s, my 40s.
Lots of energy.
You know, and I didn't mind. I had no washing machine, and we used to do it all by hand, all the cooking and everything, and I used to have them 3 days.
Mm.
I used to have them on, well, my family, children and all that on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day and Boxing Day. And then New Year's Day. So it was quite a lot of to prepare food for so many people. But I didn't mind.
No,
I really enjoyed
it. Really like it. Mm. Mm.